Look at Mark's Gospel 16. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon the resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There's no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Mark's Gospel 16. Now, Mark's Gospel 16, verse 15. See what it says there. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Condemned. Right? And this sign shall follow them that believe. He says, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with what? New tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, one of the things we did this week, we started on a journey. On day one, we paid attention to faithfulness of God. Is that correct?
Yes,
understanding what true faithfulness means, or understanding how a believer should have a view or perspective to faithfulness when you're talking about God. And we said God's faithfulness is seen in the fact that Christ is alive today. So Christ is alive today is proof that God is faithful. That Christ is alive today is proof that God is faithful. So we said, as a believer, try to ensure that you program your mind in such a way that you don't allow your joy to be based on things that are temporary. And over the week, we've come to see that healing can be temporary. Is that correct? Yeah, healing can be temporary. Healing is something that, you know, can change, or something that you can receive and someone else, and something else happens. You know, you see some people, for instance, you know, they believe God for a miraculous sign, right? And for healing in particular about something. And when they go back for checkup, whatever they believe God for eventually leaves their body. But only for the doctors to do another test and find out that there's something else. So it happens altogether. But your mindset should not be on what is happening or not as to proof of God's faithfulness, but on the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
So we look through, it says, this sign shall follow. We said the word, yes, signs, is the word that is used to speak about a pointer. Is that correct? What is a sign? A sign is a pointer. And is a pointer that shows what? There is a message that should be believed. Hallelujah. There's a message that should be believed. Very important. We went through scriptures to look at some examples of healing. Went through scriptures to pay attention to certain things. We also looked at some use of words. Some use of words. Is that correct? What two words did we look at this particular series? Agape and Zoe. Have it together. Come again. But we looked at two particular words, particularly on Tuesday, and paid attention to the word Zoe, right? And we said the word Zoe is not a word that means the life of God. Is that correct? Or life of Christ. Even though it can mean the life of Christ, depending on the context. But as an absolute, it doesn't mean the life of Christ. So you see, a lot of believers say things about how I have the Zoe life. And what they're trying to communicate is that they have the life of God. But you see, Zoe in itself is just a word that is used for life. Same thing with agape. Agape is a word used for what? Love. And it can be borrowed to speak about the love of God. So when you say, there are three types of love. Some of you, can you remind me? You know, I was looking for it throughout the series. Philia. We need to bind some spirits. Hopefully your microphone did not sound. Am I online? Please, oh. Please, just leave the word. Forget about somebody else should pronounce it for us. Please, what's the word, though? You don't want to call it again? E-R-O-S. Okay. So we have the Eros. I think I got it while I was teaching then. Okay. I was trying to recollect, but okay, that means I got it. Eros, we have Philio, is that correct? Then we have Agape. Now, those words have been used severally for different expressions of love, right? But more often than not, you realize that when the life of God, for instance, scripture is talking about, yeah, a lot of times you see the word Zoe used, but does not mean. We look through examples to show you that some other scriptures where Zoe was used, when the Bible says that if only in this life you have hope, you have all men most miserable. And what their life is called Zoe. Right, so it says, if only in this life of God you have hope. Genesis doesn't make sense. So it's good for you to put in context what you really mean. Right? Now, let me say one thing. You see, God is always willing to heal. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
The same way God is always willing that everybody is saved. Do you know that your accuracy in knowledge is not what determines if a man is saved or not? You get the point? Your accuracy in knowledge is not what determines if a man is saved or not. I'm saying that, and that's why I see some believers, you know, they laugh at people who preach in buses, for instance. I remember one of my friends was telling me he was going back home one day, and in the bus, you know, she just saw one man that just stood up and was shouting, "Jesus is coming soon, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, give your life to Jesus, right? And, you know, believe that he died for you." And the person that reached out to me was laughing at it. I said, "Ah, these people, the word of God needs to prevail in this city." Yes, and in my head, I'm like, somebody stood up in a bus. Do you know what it is to stand up in a bus to talk about Jesus? Hold on. Do you know what it is to stand up in a bus to talk about anything? In a bus. Stand up and talk about anything. You now stand up in a bus and talk about Jesus. That's a big deal. So somebody is able to do that, and all you could take from it is that they're saying, you know, there's no hell. Because they don't understand the meaning of hell. Do you understand? And like, God just looks for a window of faith for a man, for him to snatch a man. You see, God is moving like this, and every slight allowance of faith, it catches a man, and the man is saved. Just believe that he died and he rose again. That's the message of the gospel, right? So some of us in our teachings and in some of the things, we think that people only get saved based on the accuracy of the Greek words that are spoken. No, it's to believe, have faith in him, and that's it. Altogether. Now, the same way with healing. So if healing is a sign, is that correct? Is that correct? Healing is a sign of salvation. If healing is a sign of salvation, it means that God is going to look for every window, on any window, to get any man healed. Altogether, God looks for the slightest window to just get any man healed. Why? Because healing is a sign of, you know, healing, which you call salvation, that we talk about the week. Right? So that's why you see people who don't know as much accuracy in knowledge, right? They give themselves to the healing ministry, for instance. You see strange healings happening. Altogether, one of the things I try to do to myself monthly, consistently, is to ensure that I revisit certain healing ministers of the gospel around the world who are both alive and those who have, you know, have gone to be with the Lord, right? And to revisit the experiences they had in their lives. It has a way of stirring up your faith, particularly in a world where it looks like everything is trying to fight against healing. Right? Everything is trying to fight against healing. And subconsciously, as believers, we are relegating ourselves to begin to see, yield more to medical advices. Now, let me say it clearly. There's nothing wrong with medical advices. You know, like I would always tell you, let it be that, you know, when the ambulance, or if an ambulance has to pick you in the house, right, what is coming out from your lips is God's power is working. Now, altogether, let it be that no matter what it is, you're saying God's power is working. For God's power truly is working. You're not just saying it as a cliche. It's a reality. So God is going to look for the slightest opportunity for faith. If you look through scriptures, more often than not, people that were healed were everyone believers. Are you here? The people that were healed, look at Jesus' ministry. A lot of people that Jesus healed, if not most, if not even all, if you look at it properly, right? They were unbelievers. They were people who had not even believed in the resurrection. Think about it. If the closest people to Jesus, right, did not even believe in his work up until he died and resurrected, talk more of those who were far off. So what's that to tell you? That an average person who Jesus encountered to minister healing to, there are people who say, "Oh, I believe in the resurrection." Right? Was it the message of the resurrection that God, the Shunammite woman healed yesterday, that we saw yesterday? No. Right? So God just looks for a man full of faith. If I let me never say full of faith, a man that has faith. You get that? A man that has faith. It's just faith. So God will look for every opportunity to provide healing in scriptures. You know, I was listening to the series we did on faith and healing, you know, faith and healing seminar in 2021 in God's Palace, Nigeria, you know, and I was not paying attention. We did a lot of repetition in what we just did in the last week, you know, but one of the things I realized is that, you know, there was slightly not as much emphasis on the healing power, even though we experienced the healing. I told you that after that meeting, we went to the street. I think we were in that meeting, right? Yeah, after the meeting, we went to the street, you know, and got strange people, strange sicknesses healed. You know, and that's just because basically we just applied our faith. But I listened to the teaching, you know, in my head, I'm like, that's what you saw in this particular one. There were a lot of emphasis on the miraculous and healing. Yeah. So in that series, I paid more attention to the theology. Right. So if you want to understand more about the things we spoke about, for instance, a better explanation of Isaiah 53 was done in 2021 series. You know, but I listened to it and I'm like, it's not out of place. Yeah, but it was intentional for me this particular time to place more emphasis on the practicality of receiving healing. Altogether, right? So a lot of times as Christians, why am I saying that? It's easy for you to allow your knowledge to even deprive you from receiving. Do you understand? Right? Some people, their knowledge is so knowledgeable that they don't know how to receive healing. Altogether, right? They are so full of knowledge that they don't even know how to receive healing. Talk more of what? Minister healing. We saw some examples across scriptures. We saw that Moses was a great man of healing. I said it over the week that if you put the miracles of Jesus out together and the miracles of Moses that were documented, Moses by far outdid Jesus. You want to talk about comparison? Altogether, Moses by far is just, what I told you, what did Jesus do with water? He turned water to wine. Is that correct? He walked on water, beautiful. How many people did Jesus allow to walk on water? Only Peter. Eventually, he still crashed. But Moses took a nation. He went them through it. Do you know what it is for a sea to stand still, for human beings to pass through? That's supernatural. Have you not thought about it? There was no Primark in the Garden of Wilderness. I wanted to call it Garden of Eden. There was no Primark and H&M. So it means there was no place they were going to shop. Some theologians come and say maybe the older ones that they were getting old, they were giving their children the clothes. Some other people say that in the real sense, so the way because they wore robe expands as your body expands. What of shoe size? Yeah? Anything you explain it, the truth is that it was supernatural in the wilderness, full of supernatural activities. Full of spiritual activities, right? So the truth is, to understand the theology of healing and miracles, you need to consider the man Moses. He knew something. He knew something, and he administered it. Now, start looking at strange healings, for instance, in the life of Elijah. Remember yesterday, First Kings, right? Strange. Look at Second King. Let's look at First Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, quickly. 1 Kings 17, verse 14, quickly. So he arose, and the word of the Lord, verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came upon unto him, saying, Arise, go thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Verse 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering what? Sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel. And as she was going to bring and fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord liveth, I have not cake, I have but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Right? And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, right? But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, right? And after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus says the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Is that supernatural? Yes. And she went did according as the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house, they did eat for many days, for many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of what which Elijah spoke. So we see Elijah multiplying food. Is that correct? Yeah. Did Jesus multiply food as well? Yeah. So can we multiply food in our world today? Beautiful, right? So if you don't doubt Jesus, you don't doubt Elijah, it means it can happen in our world today, because there's no written scripture that shows us that miracles that happen in scriptures have ended with the scriptures altogether. So we saw some examples of, look at 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 8. 2 Kings 2, 8. Look at Second Kings, verse 2 and 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. We saw this a few weeks ago. So I go to Jericho. Look at verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as I so liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. Look at verse 7. Right? He now says, And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets, they went and stood to view afar off, and the two stood by Jordan. Look at what happened in verse 8. Elijah took what? His mantle, wrapped it together, and what? He smote the waters, and they were what? Divided hither and thither, so that the two went over a what? A dry land. Is that supernatural? Is that supernatural? Who was the first to do it? Moses. Yeah? So if Moses did it, Elijah did it, we can do it. Is that correct? Yeah? You know the song I was singing yesterday? The God of the scriptures remains the same. Altogether, right? The God of the scriptures from time immemorial, right? The same God of our world today, right? So the supernatural healings and miracles that we see in scriptures did not end with the scriptures. Altogether, look at chapter 2, verse 14, right? 2, verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the water. So is this Elijah? Is this Elisha? Who was the first person that divided Jordan? Moses. Then who? Okay, in this story today, who divided Jordan first? Elijah. Who is the second person that divided Jordan? Elisha. So Elijah and Elisha, they experienced the same miracles. Is that correct? And he took the mantle of Elijah, and he fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had spoken the water, what happened? The water parted hither and thither, and Elisha what? Went away. And the sons of the prophets, which were the view at Jericho, they saw him. That means they saw the same miracles in the lives of their pastor, in the life of the man who collected double portion of God's spirit upon Elisha. Is that correct? We also saw yesterday Elisha heal the poisoned water supply. Altogether, right? We saw Elisha multiply the widow's oil in 2 Corinthians, 2 Kings 4, verse 3, right? We saw a woman becoming pregnant. Remember that yesterday? A woman became pregnant, right? What happened? She honored the man of God. Is that correct? Yeah? So it means honor can make you receive. Is that correct? Yeah? So what does honor do? Honor has a way of making your heart ready to receive. That's the truth. 2 Kings chapter 4. Right? Verse 17. 2 Kings 4, 17. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season of Elijah said. What happened? Yeah? Elijah was passing through. Right? And the woman went to go and tell her husband. You see, there's this man of God. He's usually passing through. But I noticed that it's like he doesn't have a place to stay. Right? You know what I want to do, my husband? I want to create a room for this man of God. Right? You know, normally, where do you see guest house in people's room? Eh? Ground floor now. If there's upstairs and downstairs, guest house will always be what? Downstairs or closer to the door. So it's easy for them to chase you. If you talk too, if you eat too much, you don't help with house chores. Simply they just it's not easy for them to carry your box and put outside. Right? So but this woman decided to say, no, this is not just gonna be an ordinary guest, right? You know you can have a guest that is August visitor and it's not August. Altogether. He said, I'm gonna treat this man as an August visitor. They went upstairs to the chambers and they prepared a room for him. Right? And they said to the man of God, you see, anytime you are in this city, you know Elisha was moved. You know your honor can move people. See, let me tell you something. When you see a man of God say, I gave this money to this man of God, and the man of God was moved and said something, let me tell you, Honor Express can move. Are you with me? Are you with me? I remember, I think it was Apostle Selman, I think I heard say that in, you know, and he met, Dr. Mike Mudok one day, right, in somewhere in Abuja, right, and he had packaged a gift. You know, I said something, I've said it over time, I always say it. I learned from my dad never to meet a minister, obviously a minister, empty-handed. You know, one of the things we think is that until we get certain things, we cannot express certain things. No. It's as much about the honor behind. There are certain words that have spoken over my life as a result of things that I've given to people. Are we together? So honor means it's expressive. Is that correct? Yes, yeah? So honor can be expressed. So the woman honored Elisha so much that Elisha was moved. You know, there's a way you can honor someone. The person feels like, Kai, I've been traveling around the world, but I've not seen people who honor like this. Let me tell you, when you see someone say that kind of thing, what they saw was not in their mind. Is not, I just sense these people were more honor. I just sense they are honorable people. There is something that will be seen, you know. So which is what I was trying to say earlier on. You know, I was saying, you know, after I finished teaching yesterday, I was in a meeting till probably like 3 a.m. this morning, 2:33 a.m. this morning. I think I slept around 4-ish. You know, and one of the things I was speaking about in that particular meeting was around how this process of seed sowing, we've bastardized it. I understand. We're talking about how seed sowing is, you know, this is that, and everything. I understand all of those things, but the truth is that in our downplaying of those practices, we've also pushed honor into the gutter as well. And I always say, you cannot use one extreme to attack another extreme, right? You cannot, right? Yeah, Jesus will come into a place and he will see that there is proper dishonor. That means dishonor can be seen. Honor can be seen. Is that correct? He says, ye people of unbelief, O faithless generation. That means there's something that can be seen to show you are a man of faith. And there's something that can be seen to show that you are a woman of faith, or you are a woman of unbelief, or you are a woman of dishonor, or man of dishonor, and the likes. Right? You know, so I kept talking about how in the real sense, there's every tendency for us to just downplay things and just rush everything into the gutter and just say, oh, it's one of those things. No. Yeah, does this sowing work? Yes, it doesn't work, right? God doesn't multiply money. We know we've said those things. We taught those things. We still teach it. We still believe that today. But one thing we missed out from is to see that when certain people see certain people and they want to give certain things, we understand there's a transactional part of it. People believe in transaction. But I'm saying that a lot of times, what is behind the scene that is in operation is honor that is being expressed. Altogether, and Elisha felt like, what kind of honor is this woman giving? What did Elisha say? We saw that yesterday, is that correct? Elisha said, woman, what is the name of his protocol officer? Gehazi. Altogether. So when you see men of God have protocol today, if you start today, It didn't start today. It didn't start with Elijah. It started with Moses. In fact, even before Moses, you can see examples as well. For a man, Abraham, to have 314 trained men is a man that believes in protocol. Are we together? He's a man that believes strongly in protocol. So you see, the Bible says that, you know, he asked guys, he said, this woman, this, mind you, what did she do? We don't have any record of her counting plenty money to give Elijah. Is that correct? But we saw that she took care of a room. And when Elijah got into the room, he was like, this is some intentionality. He said, my protocol officer, go and call that woman to me. I said, come and stand there. Yeah? And the woman, and he asked him, I said, what do you want the God of Elijah to do? Are we here? Yeah? You know, you hear people say things like, there are some seeds that you give some pastor and it provokes them. See, we understand that it can sound materialistic. Are we together? Right? But the truth remains that there is something behind the scene, which is an expression of honor. When a man feels honored and he prays for you, you know, I always say it to some people. I said to a family a few years ago, I said, go and buy gifts and go and give your parents. You know? And I said, make sure you do it as quick as possible. They tried to delay. It was the week they finally decided to go that both parents went. Both. Are we together? And I said, go, just get this gift. Go and give your parents. Buy this gift. Go and give your parents. And I'm saying to all of you, don't be people who as well forget your parents. Honor your parents. Honor them. Yes, we understand, you know, revelation reality, right? Give them gifts. Buy them gifts and let them pray over you. Are we together? There are certain things that will be said that you will not reap, you will not see it until years down the line. Let them shall pray over you. You know, I said it over the week. I said, you know, when you start getting small knowledge, when somebody say God bless you, you say, no, God does not bless. God has blessed me. You know, when people say God bless you, I don't say amen. I just say I'm blessed. I just say under my breath, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm completing him. You know, when you start seeing life and start experiencing anything, you will know that every prayer counts. Because let's assume you don't know the word that will work. Just say amen to everything. That's the mindset you should have. Right? So honor is a very important thing. So learn that practice of, you know, I remember the first time I earned money in my life, I took my entire salary to go and buy it back for my mom. Entire thing. That's first fruit. I was together. And that's first fruit. Now, this was 2018. I took the entire money, I had to go and buy one bag. How I fed the remaining month, I did not remember. Right? But I just remember that is something you do honorably. Are we together? Very, very important. Yeah, it might look very insignificant, but it goes a long way that you remember to think of giving someone a gift is a big deal. All right, so be honorable. Have that practice. Yeah, so you can be so honorable to somebody, and somebody will say, how did I? You know, there's some gifts some people give you. It might not be so big, but when you go back and think about it, you'll be like, for this person to think of giving me this and that, You know, sometimes even after you pray for some people, you go back and pray for them again. I just say, I want to finish the prayer I started in the morning. I just want to finish the prayer I started in the morning. I just want you to know that God will honor you. Very important. It's something that, you know, happens in life. You see it in scriptures. The Bible says that the Shunammite woman, she honored Elisha. Elisha said, what do you want? Stand before you. And the woman said, I don't think there's anything. Right, so it means that the expression of honor was not transactional, fundamentally. She just felt like it's something to do to a man of God. And she did it. And the man said, hey, I see that you don't have children. Do you want children? In fact, when Elijah, so can you still see that evil unbelief came into that woman's life? Because Elijah asked her and said, what do you want? You want a child? This time next year you'll be child. The woman says, don't worry me. And look at it now, 2 Kings chapter 4. All together, right? Verse 15. And he stood and he said, go and call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. That was emphatic. The woman was not pregnant. And he said, you would have a child and the child would be a boy. Is that not correct? So that's two prophecies in one. It's one thing to prophesy having a child, it's another thing to say a child that is a son. All together, right? He now says that, and she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, don't lie unto thy handmaid. That means stop whining me. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elijah had said, according to the time of life. Look at what happened. And when the child had grown, he fell on the day that he went out to the father into the river. So just like he went to the farm. And I said yesterday, I said, for a man to be able to go and meet his father in the farm alone, I don't think he was crawling. Because nobody will allow a crawling baby to leave the house and go. I mean, you think people in this, you know, some of us believe that people of old, they were born adults. Those of us have that subconscious belief that no, they didn't grow. Like all of a sudden, Elisha the Tishbite. That means he was just born and he just started running. Started outrunning chariots. No, they were children and they grew. So if a child was born and they said the child was able to go out to meet the father, it means the child would have at least. So it means that when this sickness was happening, it was probably at least, let's say, what age do people expect children to start walking? One. Not the one you'll be touching chair. One. 1 year. Okay? Let's assume he is 1 year old, which I highly doubt, because Bible says he has grown. Yeah? For him to walk, he has stopped touching table. He has started going to the street. Just imagine you see a 1 year old going to go and buy bread. Right? Yeah? So this child, ideally, even though we say one is when people start talking, but I don't think this child can be one. It will be very, 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 very supernatural. But let's assume because it's a supernatural child, it starts working at 6 months. Right? But the truth is that the woman gave birth after 9 months. Basic. So let's say this child was... So this is probably 2-3 years after. He said the child fell ill. What did he go in verse 19? And he said unto his father, my head. Is that headache? That's headache in our world now. Abi, what you call migraine? See, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees until noon. And what happened? The brother died. And put together, he died. And what did she remember? My child is a child of prophecy. What did she not do? ChatGPT. What happened when a child stopped breathing? What do you do when a child stopped breathing? What do you do when it seems like the breathing is ceasing? What did she do? The Bible says that when he died upon her head, right? He said, verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. Are we together? And shut the door upon him. So, you know, she had two options. At the time when he was not feeling fine, you know she could have taken that child to the bed of the man of God. Do you understand? Such that the boy might not have died. But let's even assume that that's what happened. The truth remains that what she did was an expression of faith. Right? A dead body happens, right? A dead body is right in front of her. And you know, we don't have record of her fretting. Is that correct? And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. That is a stubborn faith. Did you get that? That's a stubborn faith. A dead person, that the first thing you're supposed to think of is ambulance. You know, if somebody did this in our world, they will say you are what? Or they what? I think that's what I'm looking for. Irresponsible. Or you can say fanatical as well. Your child died. You went to go and lock him in the room and close the door. You're such an irresponsible mother. But you see, this mother that could be termed irresponsible to the logical mind was somebody who was full of faith. Let me tell you something. See, it's not every time that everybody will be able to do what she did. Are we together? It's not every time that everybody will be able to do what she did. That's the truth. But the truth is that, like I always tell you, when the storm rages, we know what you've been feeding with. Are we together? Once breeze blows, your house, we will know if the truth. We will know that when you are doing like this, is it real? We will know. Yeah? Just allow one breeze to blow. You will just know. All together. Right? Like I always tell you, right? Sometimes I find out that, you know, some people, you know, just have a way of creating a pretentious life regarding Christian faith. They're just, you know, having a picture of as though they're fervent. So don't ask yourself to look like a fervent believer. Be fervent. All together. Let God's word be dwelt on you. I gave some instruction. I'm saying it now openly. Now, so that it not look like your internet went off yesterday. I said there are some of you, you need to stop that subscription of Netflix with Apple TV, as well as Prime. Are we together? Plus Sky and YouTube. Are we together? Because that is the beginning of your downfall. You might not want to hear it, but it's the truth. Are we together? Right? There's nothing wrong in watching movies. Are we together? You know, but there's some movies, there are movies I start, and the moment I start seeing how it's going, now, I'm not saying I'm seeing how it's going because it's boring. No. I'm saying that the message I might get from... Now, for me as a person, my wife always asks me, why do I like watching movies? So, me, if in the first scene, like you just finished showing cars, showing dun, 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 and the first scene, they've not brought gun to shoot somebody. The movie is just... I don't know how to waste time to watch drama. Any movie that they don't shoot is drama. So I built that mindset over time. And how, why was I behaving that way? I think somewhere in my subconscious, I just felt like, if they say Jesus in the Christian faith, don't do anything, don't kill, don't do evil, don't do anything, don't, you know, show people pepper. You know, let's just see how they used to act pepper to people's lives, right? You know, but I just realized that, of the truth, there's certain movies that you just realize, particularly movies that have to do with health. You know, I gave an example over the week, and I said there's a series I mentioned, Grey Anatomy. Is that correct? Yeah, I've never watched it, but I think I've heard my friends talk about it in school. Is it about doctor? Was that correct? Okay, share with them. They all know. You heard when she said yes. Right? Yeah, so but I've heard people talk about Grey's Anatomy, you know, and I just feel like that's a medical-related thing. Now, you can watch it and your mind is safe and that's fine. But for me, when I start seeing all those, somebody's heart problem, heart issue, they have to do this, I just tune off automatically. I'm trying to shield my heart. Let it be that what I'm watching is that you stole somebody's food and they are pursuing you throughout the movie. Listen, I'm safer then, because that one, there's nothing they can really do to me. You get the point, it's a normal, natural thing. But when it comes to your health conversations, when it comes to the situation of, you know, there's a movie, for instance, there's a Christian movie that an average person said they watched and cried. One child that fell from a swing and broke their body, a miracle, something, it was 10 years ago. Something in heaven, miracle in heaven, or heaven's miracle. There are some movies like that they've acted over time. And those are movies that can build your faith as well. I would get that when a mother, you know, the medical report tells a mother that your child will never do this or do that again. Right? You build those movies and it will build your faith. It's beautiful. But when you start, you know, watching movies that eventually, you started a movie to tell me somebody had a heart condition. And you did a movie to show me how he died. Not as a believer, it couldn't help me. Altogether, right? So it's very important for you to shield your heart. So this particular lady, there was a way she has shielded her heart from as much negativity. Right? So as she went out, after she closed the door, verse 22, she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray, the one of the young men and one of the asses, right, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore, right, will thou go to him today? Let me also say this as well. You see, that we are taught to be laying hands on ourselves, and we are taught to actually minister things of healing to our body, does not mean that sometimes you cannot look for support and help from your pastor or somebody who you look up to. Altogether, it's not a sign of unbelief. Altogether, there are cases that in the recent, you see great men in their years of working the miraculous, right? They will reach out to one of their pastor friends. Altogether, and just say, what of my child? My child is having this. Right? Yeah, you know, sometimes what it does for you a lot of times is that it helps your mind to be programmed as well to get support from people who are faith-minded like you or faith-likened like you. Right? Because your emotions are attacked, there's every tendency for you to drop the ball on some conversation, and it's natural, it's normal. Right? So this lady as well, while she could lay hands on a child and try to minister healing to the child through the bed and everything, but the truth is, know when to know as well, when to bring someone who can support your faith to build your faith up. And he said, wherefore, wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. As she said, it shall be well. Right? Then she saddled her horse and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy reading for me, right? Except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass that when the man of God saw her from afar, right, that he said unto Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. That's the mind of positivity. Is that correct? She said, it is well. Right? And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to trust her away. Is that protocol, officer? And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord had hid it from me and had not told me. And she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? She even remembered our words she said. Right? Yeah. Then he said to Gehazi, get up the loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them, laid his staff upon the face, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed, right? And he went in thereof and shut the door upon them, twined and prayed unto the Lord. And instead he went away and laid upon the child and put his mouth into his mouth and his eyes into his eyes, and his hands upon the hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked into the house, tore and fro, and went up. stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was called unto him, he said, take your sword. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. You know, what can you see here? Faith, is that correct? So what do you see in the story of Shunammite woman and Elisha? Faith and honor are all together. So it means faith and honor can work with healing. Is that correct? Faith and honor can work with healing. Like I said, over the week, you cannot be in faith and be in dishonor. Are we together? Once you are in dishonor, you are not in faith. Are we together? You can't be in faith and be in dishonor. We saw examples of Elisha bringing another dead man to life. We saw Elisha converting a poisonous tea. We went through another incident. Now let's look at a few things in the life of Jesus. Look at Luke 5. Luke 5:15. Luke 5:15. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Luke 5:15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass in a certain day, and as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting, and by which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now what happens in verse 18? It says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with what? Palsy. And they sought means to bring him in to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what means they could bring him in, the Bible says they went upon the top housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch, into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, right, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven. So what did Jesus see? Did he see a sick man? Did he see a sick man? So he physically saw a sick man, but what he saw was what their faith. So it means faith can be seen. All together. You know, faith can be seen. Right? Faith can be seen. Faith can be seen. It's something that can be seen. All together. Right? So you need to ensure that, you know, in your heart and attitude of faith, you also have expressions of faith. All together. Faith can be seen. Faith is something that can be seen. Faith is something that can be spoken about. Faith is something that you can say and say, that's a man of faith. That's a woman of faith. Altogether, in this life, when it comes to Christian faith and ministry, you can't do anything without faith. Altogether, you would only break new grounds, break fallow grounds, because you are a man or a woman of faith. So faith is like an ingredient, very fundamental in our Christian life, such that, you know, without faith, in the real sense, right, you can't really have as much to see in your lives. Altogether, so if faith is that important, it means that you need to ensure that with all your life and effort and energy, you are building your faith. All together. And how do you build your faith? Yeah, you build your faith by speaking, staying with the word, feasting and feeding on the word. We saw that over the week. We said, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, right? It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Is that correct? Right? For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, right? But mighty to bring down strongholds, right? It says, casting down what? Imaginations. I taught you over the week about how imaginations will take its precedence from where? The wall of Jericho. Are we together? Right? Yeah, so casting down imagination. How do you cast down imaginations? Through words. You don't use imagination to attack imagination. Imagination will deal with you. Are we together? Yeah? You know, you cannot have an imagination of what you are going through, and maybe the devil brings a picture into your heart about how maybe someone in your family passes or someone dies, right? Or something happens terrible, something terrible happens to your family. And you just start imagining again to counter-imagine the imagination. And just say, just imagine. No. Altogether, what do you do immediately? Get into the war front. How do you get into the war front? With your words. Altogether. So can faith be seen?
Yes, sir.
Now, can faith be spoken? So it means faith can be seen and faith can be spoken. Altogether. Right? You can have your heart so filled with faith that in your words, you know, when a man talks, you see one of two things, a man of faith or a man of fear. Altogether, you see one of two things, a man of faith or a man of fear. That's what I was telling you about the week, right? A couple weeks ago, right? Yeah. I mean, I was in a situation where, you know, I had to believe God for a miracle. I went together, right? And doctors had given it a name. I went together. But I didn't pay attention to learning what the name is. I paid attention to seeing what the word says. I'm healed in my body. She's healed in her body. I went together. She's healed in her body. There is no shaking. There's nothing to get you timid. So faith can be seen. Faith can be heard. Are we together? And fear can be seen and fear can be heard. What will happen to Jesus on the boat? He was walking on the sea. And what happens? Their hearts were full of fear. And he said, is that not that man? Who is that man walking? And Jesus says, come. And what happened? The Bible says that Peter began to come out and he started looking on the world. I went together. And what happens? He began to what? Sink. So it means that faith, a man can start out in faith and end in fear. Did you get that? A man can start out in faith and end in fear. So faith, now what is the remedy to start in faith? What is the remedy to not ending in fear? Let me say that differently. For you to start in faith so that you're not ending in fear, what do you keep doing? You keep speaking and keep feasting on the word. I want to get that. Faith is not something like, it's not power bank. Amen? Faith level in your life never gets to 100%. I want to get that. So I'm saying never allow your faith level get to a point where you say, no, I've built faith for this. No. It is you build faith so that you can keep building faith. Altogether, Mark 11, verse 22. We saw that yesterday, but let's go back there again. Mark 11, 22. But I love seizing at his feet. I love hearing what he says. I love knowing your desires. Look at Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now, story, background story, Jesus and the fig tree, is that correct? Yeah? And what happened? Jesus saw the fig tree. And the fig tree, even though it wasn't in the season, what did Jesus say to the fig tree? He says, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. That's verse 14. And he said the words and he moved on. Altogether, that's a man of faith. Altogether. Then what happens? The disciples heard what he said, but they saw that nothing happened to the fig tree. Let me say this to you. It means that there are some words you will speak and you will not see the instant change right on the spot. Are we together? Yes, there are some, I hope you know that there are healings that are instant and there are healings that are progressive. Yes, who determines it? I don't know. Are we together? Who determines it? I don't know. Are we together? Right? We've had situations where we lay hands on people and right on the spot in the meeting, whatever pain they had in their body disappears. We also have situations of people that after they lay out, and after hands are laid on them, you know, and after words are spoken, they go back home and they still feel the pain. It even seems like it's worse, right? And for some situations, you find out that days after or weeks after, everything just disappears. Altogether, right? So what is Jesus teaching with this? When it comes to faith, right? Faith has a lot to do with the unseen. So it means that if you are a man of faith, you will not more often than not operate with what your physical eye sees alone. Altogether. It's good to have your eyes to see, oh, pastor laid hands on me and this happened to me instantly. The pastor laid hands on somebody on me by proxy for somebody else and the person told me in that hour this happened. But the truth is that there are times as well that pastor will say something and it takes 24 hours for it to come into reality. Sometimes it can take 3 days, sometimes 3 weeks. Sometimes it can take months. That's why I always tell you, for instance, you can go to the hospital right now and they tell you that there's something wrong with your body and you go back to the hospital and you say you'll be healed and you leave the place and get back home and you actually even take some medication and everything and you go back there 3 weeks after, right, and they tell you that, oh, the thing is not even, it's still there, it has even increased, yeah, and you go back there the third time and it's still there, right? Now, in all those going back, always remember that God's power is working. God's power is working. Never allow that phrase leave your mouth. God's power is working. I would get that. For some people, it's like after the second time they're doing to cross-examine something, right? That things change. I told you an example of someone who's what they call it. Did I get the word genotype, right? Is that what I called it? Yeah. I was correct, right? You know, sometimes when you're talking online, you don't even know where you are, right? And you see someone's genotype changing, right? Yeah, it can happen instantly, you know, but you must always remember it can happen instantly, it can happen over a period of time. But one thing that is happening is that God's power is working. So you don't pay your attention on what happens instantly more than you pay attention on the fact that God's power is working. So what is happening in your body? God's power is working. What's happening in your body? God's power is working. God's power is working. God's power is working. So that's what you're seeing there. So 24 hours, Bible says in verse 19, and when the evening was coming, he went out of the city. And in the morning, so it means that what was happening at the fig trees to start was at the beginning of the day. Verse 12, and on the morrow, when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry, right? And all of those things, what now happens, right? The next morning, in verse 20, as they passed, they saw the fig tree dried up from its roots. And Peter called to remembrance, saying unto him, Master, Master, behold, yeah, the fig tree that thou causest is withered away. And what did Jesus say? Jesus answering said unto him, have what? Faith. So what was Jesus using fig tree to teach? Faith in God. Altogether, faith in God. So should your attention be as much on the fig tree? No. But on the concept of faith, right? He said it. Now, see what he now used to explain what faith in God means in verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whatsoever thou shalt what? Say, is that number one? Unto this mountain. So, was there a mountain in the picture? Was there a mountain in the picture? Yes and no. Are we together? Yeah. Was there a literal mountain? No. So, what was the mountain in this narrative? Fig tree. So, what did Jesus now say? He now says, this fig tree is a template. So, you mean Jesus could have literally used that example and said, what whosoever says to this fig tree. But he now categorizes it so your mind will know that your attention should not as much be on the fig tree. He says, whosoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. So, it means that people might not always live in a life where they need to take mountains out of their way. But there are certain things in your life that can have mountain-like, that can be mountain look-alikes. Altogether, sickness, altogether illness, is not from God. Never can be from God. God doesn't use sicknesses to teach people. If God is trying to use sickness to teach you how to be humble, there's no need for you to pray to God. There's no need for you to ask in faith to God. It doesn't make any sense. Altogether, I give an example of Pastor Shekou saying this to a lady some 20, 30 years ago, right? And she said, she feels that God is giving her probably cancer or something to train her so that she can be humble and draw close to him. So maybe your theology is very funny. And he just said, close your eyes, let's pray. Altogether, Father Lord, we'll give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for receiving more cancer in this body. And the woman said, which one is more cancer in this body? She said, I want you to be close to God, though. It's not complex, right? So you must understand that when it comes to illnesses, diseases, it's not of God. Say, sickness is not of God. Say, sickness is not of God. I would together. So she says, be thou removed. I would together, be thou cast into the sea. And shall not what? Doubt in his heart. But shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall what? Have whatsoever he said. Look at verse 24, 1 to 3, go. Therefore I now say, what things soever you desire. When you what? You pray. You believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Are we together? So it means faith can be seen, faith can be spoken, faith can be heard. Faith can be seen, faith can be spoken, faith can be heard. Very important. Faith can be seen, faith can be spoken, and faith can be heard. Very, very important for you to know that. How you can look at Luke's Gospel 6, verse 17. And he came down with them and stood on the plain, and the couple of disciples and the great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirit, they were what? Healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out of him, and there went out of him was virtue, right? And he healed them all. Never give room to doubt around you. Never give room to fear around you. Never give room to fear around your space. Altogether, right? You know, there are some people that when you are feeling pain in your body, don't call them. A friend of mine called me a few months ago from Canada, right? And I didn't know why he called me. He just called me and told me certain things. Right, and when I spoke about him, he said, that is why I called you, because I knew that this is what you would say. I know that he called on the phone, he mentioned, he said, this is our friend. He said he knows if he calls all his other friends that this is what they will say, and he said he knows this is what I will say. I went together, right? It was a health related thing, right? So you should have friends who you call on certain things, and there are friends who don't need to know anything about it. How are you doing? I'm doing okay, for God's fire is working. Are you lying? Because fire is not working. It's working. Are we together? Yeah, there are friends you call and you speak to them and tell them, oh, this was happening. I have another friend, for instance, who talked to me a couple years ago, right? And I didn't, so when he now reached out to me, I think it was even by word of knowledge, I didn't know identify what was wrong with him, right? And he said, honestly, we are chatted. I was looking for how to bring this conversation in. And I just prayed for him over the phone, and he got healed over the phone. Are we together? Right? I remember a couple years ago, I stopped doing all those things, though. I remember a couple years ago, some of you would have known. I used to heal people through WhatsApp status, right? Some of you know, right? I used to heal people through WhatsApp status, right? I was just like, what I'm going to just say something to WhatsApp status. And you just need to bounce it. I know evidence doesn't lie. The chats are still on my phone. Yeah? What I'm going to do, I'll just say, who's on my contact list that has this pain? Who has this? Who has this? In fact, there was one I even did about somebody who was in hospital bed. And right from WhatsApp status, coincidentally read it on the spot and jumped up from the bed. Called the doctors and asked them to come and check her body, and she was fine, and they discharged her. And we're together, right? So we've seen things, right? And the truth remains that we've also seen situations of when you pray and it seems like nothing happens, but God's power is working. God's power is working. I told you, right? I've read stories. I charge my heart. You know, there's a way you want to charge your heart in faith. I did it too. Charge it. Went to the hospital, went to the mortuary. Saw my dad lying lifeless in the mortuary, in the morgue there. And then I went there with my father, my mom, you were there, right? Yourself, my sister. We laid hands. My dear brother, my dear sister. God's power is working. Yeah, God's power is working. And we walked out of the place. That almost stamped on my face. You know, it was weeks after that I started healing people on WhatsApp. You know why I was doing it? I was looking for how to put the devil to shame so that I will not get to a place where I begin to doubt God's power. Yeah. You know, when you pray for somebody and the worst case happens, God look for another person to pray for. Yes, you're not going to kill the person, you know? Yeah, you didn't kill them. You're not going to give them the sickness. And you didn't make it increase. So when you pray for somebody, say, Pastor, when you lay hands on me, the thing increase. Go and look for another person. Go and look for that. Because that's how the devil he plays the long game. I can tell you for free, I have every right to doubt God's power. I have every right to doubt God's power. What did I not do? Pastor Chris came to Abuja, right? For the first time ever, I attended his meeting with someone who had been eating on his word. The first time I did a 3 days dry fast. You remember? Right, 3 days dry fast in my father's house. My father gave me his office in his house. I was the only voice I heard was Pastor Chris Oyakrim. This 2010, 2011. Said his word. He's one of the people that built in me that ability for healing. I heard he was coming to Abuja. I said, the man is only coming because of me. My dad was in the hospital. I took a facial from my dad's hospital. I went there. I see a video. Went there. I put the video on the chair. I closed it to clean the chair. Took the note, pack everything. Put it in my pocket. Went back. Yeah, it's funny. Went to the hospital. I laid it on my dad's head. You are healed. I was together. Eventually, yeah, you know the truth. Yeah, I've not said this anywhere. I think I said it for the first time someone a few days ago. Right? The negligence of the nurse was what made him pass the way he passed. You know what happened when we're doing the burial to take my dad? I'm sure my mom's going to hear this for the first time. When we're doing the burial to take my dad out of the hospital, she's probably hearing it for the first time as well. A nurse reached out to me. That the nurse that were paying to take care of my dad was gisting. At the time he passed. So he wanted to probably pass out because I think he was urinating from here. Right? Doing strange combination on his body. Right? And he could not get support. And he gave up. This man has gone. Altogether, and I walked out and I said, God's power is working. That day, the day we did the service of song, was when I announced in Christ for the first time. I said, almost doing Christ. And when the meeting in Christ finally came, I had to ensure that I ministered God's power. I started going on WhatsApp. Where are the sick people? I started healing people because I needed to work on my mind to remind myself God's power is working. So the condition that changes from bad to worse does not change the fact that God's power is working. Because we don't understand his faithfulness from based on what is changing or not, but based on what has changed in the resurrection. Praise God forevermore. So never give room to fear. Don't give room to doubt. Don't have friends around you that are full of fear. Have men who are full of faith. Our words can show a destination we are going to or a path we are following. Our words can show a destination we are going to or a path we are following. Look at Matthew's Gospel 8 verse 23. So faith is tangible, fear is tangible. There's some people you have around you, and all they bring to your sphere is fear. 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 You are in your house. I have to start questioning my wife. When we are in a small house, I will just appear from the room. Maybe I will sit there and I just surprise. And she's doing like this. Why are you afraid? Who did you think entered the house? And I have to make her understand that the only reason why you are scared is because of what you are watching, what you are feeding on. And may I hit that thing? Why am I in my house? So before I come and touch you, I should first be announcing, I'm coming, no. Small thing, I'll just enter the room and I'll just be like, And I just used to talk. It irritates me. I mean, but I have to be patient with her. I'm still patient with her. All together, right? It just shows you are full of fear. Something fall down in your house. You are stepping back. You are already wondering, my dear, please help me go and check. My dear, help me go and check. Sometimes you say, help me go and check. You think you are acting as a brave man. Why is fear? What is doing you is fear. You now find out, no, nothing. Now, let me just go and check. But you are running away from the challenge. Are we together? Don't be that kind of person who is full of emotions. You're not feeding your heart appropriately. You know, fear is a torment. I've heard people say that fear, there are 365 fear in the Bible. One per day. You've heard that story before. Now, you know, if you count the number of fear in the Bible, those even are afraid. It's not up to 150, right? But, you know, people just started that story. I started running with it. But I'm saying to you, because we now tell you now that the fear is not 350, does not mean you should not be fearful. Matthew's Gospel 8. You know, I was telling you on Sunday how children respond to fear. A lot of times it's how they watch your body language. What do you do when certain things happen? All together. Matthew's Gospel 8, verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was what? Asleep. There is something you will know that will make you fall asleep and remain asleep in the midst of thick storm. All together. Yeah? It's not irresponsibility. It's called something called faith. What was that mean? 25, right? And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us or we perish. And he said unto them, why are you what? Fearful, only ye of little faith. So can fear be seen?
Yes, sir.
Did they say they were fearful?
No.
But they said something, acted in a way, and Jesus said, why are you fearful? What did he now refer to them? He says, oh ye of little what? Faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. Look at 27, 1 to the letters together. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea, they obey him. Have faith in God. Say, have faith in God.
Have faith in God.
Is that the same thing Jesus was teaching in the fig tree story? Yeah. So Jesus spoke to trees and Jesus spoke to wind. It's all from the same root, faith. Altogether, it's all from the same root, faith. So we guide our hearts, our minds. So let me ask you a question. How do you shield your mind from the fiery darts of the devil? Through what? The words of God on your lips. Are we together? You see, when the devil paints a picture to you, don't paint another picture in your mind. Paint another picture with your words. Because a lot of things that will counter negate the things that the devil has painted will first be spoken to your environment. So learn to always use, you should not be somebody who's always, you want to kill me. Why do people like to play with kill and die easily? Eh? Ah, la la, fla 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 fla. So today I won't die. For those of us who don't understand, that's just the way I'm saying. I laugh, laugh, laugh. That's the point. It looks like I want to die. How many people just joke with those kind of things? There's a man called I go something. I don't call his name. Hey, you go. You go die. That's a comedic name. That's okay. I prefer I go save. Just look about it, the name that fits you. You know, there's something saying, and I ask the Lord, what name fits you? You say, I go die. That's the name you decide that fits you. Are we together? Yeah, don't be somebody who is just joking around with death. Smarting. I'm frightened. You know, you can act frightened. It's enough you acted frightened, but saying it is another thing. Learn to use your words. Always guide your life, your world with your words. When people come to my house and come and tell me, this your baby that is sleeping like this, God's business, feel this. I change it for them immediately. Take care, I change it for you. My friend came to my house. I didn't know I changed it for him too. My friend, Abby, he came to the house. One day. So he was just out of concern. He just said, before I even gave birth, he just said, they're entering the season of sleepless nights. I didn't know he's back to Sinai. I said, I just sent it back to him. So I didn't know that he took it. I didn't know what I did. That's how much I've built my mind. So when we finally gave birth, he came to come and visit us. So he said, as we were coming, we wanted to go and buy a card. The card was saying, welcome to ups and downs. He told his wife, he said, I don't buy that car for my beauty. If I can tear it in your front. What is ups and down? Do you know how many days I took out to go and pray on the head of my child? I've been praying for my child for over 3 years. I knew her name from 3 years ago. Me having vigils. It did 7 days before I ate it there, I still did the 7 days fast, prayer and fast on her head. You know, because master come and tell me, this one that she's quiet now, just give her 2 more days. I will get out of my house. What kind of nonsense is that? Which one's too much? Why give my child deadline? Who called you? What I'm saying to you sounds funny, but I say to anybody, even if I'm your pastor that comes and tell you those words, you cannot have to say respectfully. With all due respect, sir, my child is peaceful. It sounds funny, but that's how the devil gets to you. Before you know it, your mind is getting ready. They say we sleep less, so we sleep in our house like babies. That's the truth. The night I've stayed awake the longest since I gave birth to my child, it was not because my child was disturbing me, because I was studying God's word from 11 to 7 p.m. 7 a.m., sorry. How come I tell me that, welcome to ups and down? Who's ups and down with you? You come on, go down. Do you understand? I'm saying you have to be very firm. You have to be firm. This is your child. It's like she'll be very black. Someone said it to me now. I say, isn't that me? Like, I'll be call my innocent child with you. Isn't that made the mistake? I forgive myself. You know, I was telling you, it's good. I understand it's good to have milestones. You know, as a child, when you're 7 months, these are taking your milestones. But why don't you, without the milestone, keep staying in the world? Don't let it be you are encouraged with milestones because other people are in the same category. You know, misery likes company. Do you understand? Yeah. My child is not sleeping at night. So, you know, message one day now say, even my child for 3 days, she has not said, he said, thank God, after all. But it's good to hear a beautiful story, but make sure that the people you are hearing stories for are people that are full of faith. In our house, we've decided that the stories we will tell people about childbirth are good things, positive. Most people don't have good things in their mouths. You labor. What is that? God's power is working. My child that is stable today will stay stable. How will I be doing vigils on the end of a child? You're not coming and use a word and just saying, no, 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 we just trust that things will be okay. Yeah, you need to learn how to say. That's how you. This world is a battlefield. You can only fight it with words. You can't fight it with words. All together. Say, I don't use my words. To fear. Say, I don't use my words. To fear, so I use my words. To faith. So fill your heart with faith. Look at Matthew 6, verse 31. Matthew 6, verse 31. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, are we together? It's bad that it's a bad imagination, but don't voice it out with your words. Did you get what I just said? It's bad enough that it's a because the things you say have a way of painting a picture of the life you expect. Are we together? That's why you see some people, you know, some things, what people call generational curses, sometimes it is because of the fact that they've heard it and heard it over and over again. People in our family, they don't used to cross 30. Or people in our family, they used to look for a job for 10 years. They told you, so in your subconscious, you're not even putting in the energy. You're just counting the mark. Are we together? Right? People in my family, there's a genetic, you know, when you go to the hospital for yourself, they will ask you some questions. Is there anybody in your family that has this thing? I don't try to remember it. The question is, if your parents are not alive, how will you know? How do you know the answer? You say, it was my father. His father's father had it. His father's father had it. He said, no wonder. Even you too, you know, it's a normal thing. It flows in our blood. No. All together, you can say some words. You can speak to someone. That does not mean you are irresponsible. Don't let anybody bamboozle you and tell you something and say, you are irresponsible. No, you can stay with the word. You can stay with the word. I can always tell you, learn to speak words over yourself, no matter how slight it is. You have stomach ache, lay your hands on your stomach. You have headache, lay your hands on your headache. You've not built your faith so much to heal headache. You are going to look for dead people. The people that raise dead people, do you know what they saw with their eyes? Do you know how they built it? I know there are some very supernatural cases where instantly the first miracle you do is raise dead, like Archbishop Esidausa. But see, more often than not, because of how you've poisoned your mind with several things. I was in secondary school. I was in primary school, for instance. My I became the head boy in school. Most of my mates left school in primary five, which some of you know, and some of you, I mean, you experienced it in school. People live in primary five, some live in primary four. You know, my sister, my brother, all of them did double promotion. My brother did double promotion maybe two or three times. I don't even know where I was running to. You understand? But me, my own class, double promotion, I didn't double promotion. So I got to just one, just two, just three. My results were not funny. They were just very funny. Before I know it, I told you the example several times. My dad uses handkerchief to clean his face. My children, my siblings will be taking, you know, first and second position out of hundreds of people sometimes. You know, and my mom sat me down and spoke to me and said, "You're not a dullard." Right? What changed my life was the words my mom said to me. I always say it. She said, "No, you know you're a brilliant child. You know you can do well in school. Your child is misbehaving. Maybe you ask them to write one, they're writing 11 or writing 4. You say, dullard. You don't know they are hearing it. You don't know book. And that knock is sealing it." That knock is sealing it. Huh? You don't know. You why are you not social? Altogether. And from that moment, you know, when I went to this SS1, the people who were taking first, second, third, right? I used to take 8, 9 average. I used to be 7, 8, 9. If I do well, 7th. Out of you think we are plenty in our class, though. We are just 16. I was doing average. Yeah. If we are plenty, we are 20. My mom just had me call me down. The first semester in SS1. The first semester in SS1, I came from the back. I became the first in my class. The second position, I gave them 120 max gap. First got Opeyemi Lano. That's her name. Second, 120 something max gap. From the blues. You know what it means to carry somebody under 70 marks? It means for every almost, in probably 10 subjects, for every 70 they get, you get an 80. From an average in the class. My mom looked at me and said, "You're going to write WAEC from SS1. I stopped school in SS1 first term. Went to register for GRE. Is it GRE? I said GRE. GCE, sorry. Altogether. And one man, Mr. Lawrence, if I hear this teaching, my chemistry teacher, called me one day. So I passed all my exam. I was supposed to leave for SS2. He now called me and said, "This school you are running to, people fail and fail woefully." He said, "People fail and fail woefully. He's not too, why are your parents trying to rush you?" My school principal wanted me to become head boy in my secondary school as well. My parents said, "No, he has passed his phase. He should go ahead and move on with his life. I want him to secondary school." You know, because of the words he has said, chemistry teacher, you, I didn't even like your subject first. You now first tell me that I'm going to go and fail. Say you will fail and fail woefully. Take it at a step so that you don't repeat a year in university. I remember he told me this was at the back of Light Two Academy under a tree. Right? But thank God for a mother who had the right words to say to me. She said, I will not fail. You know that kind of anger? I took that anger to university. My first semester, only me and somebody else got 5.0 in out of 300 students. Got the 5.0. Then my first term, I was a 4.96 GPA. Until the girl started coming to the picture, I started dropping it down. But thank God I did not see tomorrow. I saw tomorrow. What am I saying? Words are important. I will go to class and say, "No, I'm not a failure. I'm not a failure. I'm a success." Don't allow what people say to you to push you down and to cage you down. It says, "Take no thought, saying." So that means, how do you take thought? By saying. What shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we go? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? His righteousness. And every other thing, shall be added to you. So dear God's fellow member, what am I saying to you today? Be a man or woman of faith. Say, "I'm a man of faith." Say, "From today, my words change." Say, "From today, my words change." Say, "I'm a man of faith." Say, "I'm full of faith." Say, "I'm full of faith." Say, "I'm full of faith." Are we together? Yes, praise God forevermore. You get to work, for instance, your boss says you're not doing well, and you know you're putting in the effort. Remind yourself, you're not a dullard. Are we together? Go and take some courses and go and learn some things, but you're not a dullard. Don't use one experience to judge yourself. Use one experience to put yourself down. There are people today who cannot look into the faces of people. It's through the words their parents spoke to them. If I check yourself, like, you check your life as well. If you're somebody who, before you talk to people, you look at the front, it's what they said to you while growing up. Looking at the front. People tell you, you can be bold, look into the eyes of people. I learned that from my dad. Okay, my dad, when he wanted to go for structural engineering, right, in university, he had an accident, right, and his head caught in the accident. When they stitched it up, they forgot some things, needle and some things inside his head. After a few weeks, the thing swole up. They had to open up a stitch, you know what I'm saying, to remove glasses and everything. He missed university that year. He couldn't go to, my dad did not go to university. My dad never go to, he doesn't graduate anything. That's why he said his children, the least they will become is they will get masters. That's why you see me, I'm doing master. Not like I want to master in anything. My father said, you must have master. That's the least. He said, that's what he owes his children. Are we together? Right? But you see that man, who are you? He sat down with president, former president, and sat down. How are you, sir? Are you okay? You don't have to say, how are you, sir? You know, see, it's one thing to say, how are you, sir? But once you finish, how are you, sir? You go back up. Hope you are fine. How is work? Look into the eyes of people. Yet some of us, is the things our parents told us that made us not be able to look and be, and that's why we live a mediocre life. You can be honorable and bold. All together, you can be honorable and bold. So if you are one who is in that category, start speaking to yourself and ensure that as you start bringing children into this world, you start helping them to train them. All together, you are confident, you are bold. You are confident, you are bold. You can speak to anybody. Let me ask you a question. Why shouldn't you be able to speak in front of anybody? Why? Now you're the president of the world. Why shouldn't I be able to say something to you? Why should I reject? I remember joining my company a couple years ago, you know, and someone reached out to me and said, but you said you are just new to working in the UK. Why are you talking to people so confidently? And I asked, how should I be talking? How should I be talking? As we're talking small, small, you know, that project, the budget is not big. No. All together. You know, when you know what you are capable of and what you also have in your head, at least first have something in your head, though. Not that I say because you're confident that you can't be talking nonsense in your board meeting. You know, I put something in the head. Are we together? But you know, I know the kind of things that I put in my head. Are we together? I'm a very honorable human being. Myself, I know. Nobody needs to tell me. Very cultured Nigerian culture, not even Eastern culture. Proper Yoruba boy. I know. But when it comes to confronting situations, altogether, you know, some of us don't even like confrontations. It's because of how they change you. Someone look at me and say, why do you like to confront things? I was like, you know, a lot of people have lost relationships because of not confronting basic things. That doesn't mean that you can't be just looking at everybody, I want to confront everybody. No. But you know, there are some issues that are very trivial. Speak about it. That is what destroys relationships. Speak about it. Voice that, don't assume. I saw you not leave meat for me. Is it that you are stingy? Come out straight. Let us know where you stand. Yeah? But you get the point. Say, I'm full of faith. I'm full of faith. Glory to God.